Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a hand clap like you mean it? Okay, if your soccer team, your football team just scored a goal. But I said, if God's been good to you, I give him a hand clap. Because everything that has breath shall praise the Lord. This is a house of praise. This is a house of prayer. This is a house that is getting ready to extend its borders. This is a house that God is getting ready. And I say it as we use and coin the phrases, God is getting ready. Truth be told, God has finished all the work already. But we, as a people, I say we, because my wife and I looked over it and said, this is like our house. Because we did everything and do everything in the same manner you just did. So I know that God intricately put people together for a reason. Do you hear me? But I do know the one thing. When the Bible says that God finished his work and he rested on the seventh day, he was done. Everything was finished from the very foundation of the earth. It's done. But what we are about to do as a people of God, we're about to step into his perfected will. I'm telling you, we're about to step into something that has been waiting for you all along. But you have been just meandering through as we as the bride of Christ have been meandering through trying to figure out where we're going, what we're doing, and who we are. But we are about to step into something that God has preordained for you. You are about to experience a different side of God that you did not once know. Are you hearing me? And once you step into that perfected place, you begin to experience things you've never experienced before. But I can be in this house and tell you that the power of God is something you already know. His love is something that you've experienced. His grace is something that you have received. And mercy is something that you have been allotted to. How many of you know that we need mercy? Oh, come on now, tell the truth now, because we're a real church here. You know, when we mess up real good. Amen. We don't just mess up a little bit, we mess up real good. But that's why we need a real God. Amen. Amen. As I was sitting in praise and worship, and I felt the Lord say, I need you to tell them to extend their borders. Extend their borders. I came with a message that I believe is for the bride of Christ, but it fits to everyone that is here that feels like they haven't extended their borders yet. You've been occupying the land, but you haven't seen the fullness of it yet. You understand? So before I get into this, I'm going to actually put two words together because I believe the Lord wants to let you know that you're getting ready to expand. Expand. Your borders, we all know as an apostle of this house, an apostle of the kingdom, your borders are not your geographic location. Your borders are beyond that of which the mind can hold.
That's right.
What your heart has experienced. You are a passionate man, a passionate woman of God, and what you desire to see is people change, transform, and renew. Amen. And I can sense in here that that's why you are in the house of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
My wife, Inez, and my daughter, Hannah, come from San Antonio, Texas, with me to come and be a part of this. That I feel that the Lord has led me to this place for a reason. And I'm so grateful and honored for the invitation to come. I take it not lightly. I grace this pulpit with respect to you and your wife and to the many people here that are here as part of the family of this house. And I thank you for that. I appreciate it. My church in San Antonio, Texas is the house of manna, the house of what is it? What is God to you and what is he bringing to you that you need on a daily basis? What is it? Look to your neighbor and say, what is it? All right, come on. You just had all this kind of energy going, so I know you ain't about to fall asleep. My wife looked over at me. She said, are you ready? I said, I've been ready. One thing I tell the church, I said, don't get ready, because if you're getting ready, you're going to be left. Stay ready, and you're almost ready to go. Amen? Come on, touch your neighbor and say, stay ready. Because your blessing's already waiting for you. Stay ready. Your blessing's already waiting for you. Amen? So without further ado, I want to extrapolate this message for you, and I want to do a due diligence so you have a better understanding, so we have to know where we're at in this season of our life on what God is beckoning us to do. Amen? So if we can get into this, I want you to turn with me to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. Chapter 17. Verses 12 through 17. And again, I want to let you know that I'm going to put two messages together based on what I heard prophetically in the Word during praise and worship. And when you're at Joshua 17, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Some of you are still shuffling. Some of you are still funneling through here. So when you have it, give me an amen.
Amen.
Some of us are getting there. When you have it, stomp your feet. All right, now, now. You said it earlier. We're a house that knows how to have rhythm. Come on. If you have it, stomp your feet. We're getting there. We're getting there. In a minute, we're going to be able to get to someplace. The reason why we're stomping our feet is because we're telling the devil, you can't have this time in the Lord. Amen? So in Joshua chapter 17, verse 12 through 17, I'm going to read out of the NIV, and it reads in this wise. Yet the Manassites were not able to occupy these towns, for the Canaanites were determined to live in that region. However, when the Israelites grew stronger, they subjected the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not drive them out completely. The people of Joseph said to Joshua, "Why have you given us only one allotment and one portion for the inheritance? We are a numerous people, and the Lord has blessed us abundantly." "If you are so numerous," Joshua answered, "and if the hill country of Ephraim is too small for you, go up into the forest and clear land for yourselves." Clear land for yourself. How many of you know that God wants to clear some things for you? "Go up into the forest and clear land for yourselves there in the land of the Perizzites and the Raphaites." The people of Joseph replied, "The hill country is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites who live in the plain have chariots fitted with iron, but those in Bethshan and its settlement and those in the valley of Jezreel." But Joshua said in the tribes of Joseph to Ephraim and Manasseh, "You are numerous and very powerful. You will have not only one allotment, but the forested hill country as well. Clear it, and its farthest limits will be yours. Though the Canaanites have chariots fitted with iron, and though they are strong, you can drive them out." Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Father, that you prepare the hearts of your people to receive your word today. And I thank you that you've anointed these lips and this mouth to speak your word. Let them not see me, but to see you, to hear you, Father. And I thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have got to see beyond where we're at today to have a better understanding of where God is taking us. But if we don't have vision, the people will perish. But if we don't understand what we're seeing because of the lack of understanding, we're only going to see something that stands before us as an obstacle. But when God says, "I want you to take possession of the land and go and drive out the previous tenants," what was there, you may not have the understanding just yet. We as the body of Christ, speaking as myself as well, that we need to see beyond what the restrictions are, and we've got to clear the land out. Because he's about to expand the borders for the bride of Christ. And if we look at land as a promise, we have an understanding that God is saying, "I have made you to be a witness unto all areas." That's what the Bible says. And so what we are to do is look beyond what we think is restricted and what we can't reach or what we can't touch. But we are going now into the places where they have been hidden. Are you hearing me? Where they've been hidden. There's been some hidden agendas in some religious societies and some cults that have been arising in these last days, that the agenda is to take away the truth and to take away the spirit of the living God.
Yes.
And if we don't have that full understanding, if we don't drive out the tenants, and I'm not saying the people, for the people are God's.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to drive out a spirit and get it out what is bringing a lie and that is keeping the people blinded. Amen? But we have to move with intensity and with purpose to drive it out. Amen? Now look to your neighbor and say, "Get ready to drive it out." We're going to drive it out. Because what we need to do is to have an understanding that better is waiting for us. Did you hear what I said? Just maybe this side is feeling a little bit more. I don't know. But it seems like that we know that there's something better for us, but have we gotten so comfortable that we stay where we're at? You get complacent because it's okay having church and it's okay knowing the word, but if you're not impacting the people that need to have the gospel, then all we're doing is creating all kinds of noise, gathering together for some tea and some
biscuits.
Which I love, by the way. It's lovely. And I'm taking it home with me. But I can't just come to another service expecting the same old thing. Because then I'm not being transformed, I'm not being renewed, and I'm not being utilized for the kingdom of God. Are you hearing me? I've come to exhort the people of God to let you know that better is waiting for you. Look to your neighbor and say, better is waiting for you. Touch your neighbor. Say, better is waiting for you. Now touch the other one that you really don't really, you know, you haven't really been talking to. Touch that neighbor and say, better is waiting for you. Better is waiting for you. Amen. Because, you know, what happens is we get so caught up with, this is okay, I'm being blessed. And I'm getting what I need. But what about your desires? What about what you're longing for? What about your dreams? What about your aspirations? What about what God has shown you in your dreams to see it into fulfillment? Do you not want to obtain everything that God said is already yours? Because I believe that God is saying, my people have been okay with just the status quo. Are you saved? Praise God. That's just the beginning process. The cross was only the beginning. The grave was the intermission. And when he rose up, he was saying, I've given you the keys of what you need to do. But you can't sit there with the keys in your pocket and never use them. We have got to go and drive out what is standing before our blessing. And what is the true blessing? And I know, I look at things like, ooh, I wish I had my Audi. I wish I had my vehicle. I wish I had my house. God said those are the things that are byproducts.
That's right.
Those are byproducts of just doing what I tell you to do. Because that's easy for me to give you. But what I want you to go after is what really matters the most. The people.
Yes, absolutely.
Love on them. And when you love on them, let them know Daddy loves.
Come on.
Daddy loves them regardless of where they are, regardless of what they've been through, regardless of what society has placed on them. I love them. That's where the true treasure is. He said, if you can put your heart and your mind towards the people, everything else will be added unto you.
That's right.
Simplicity. Simplicity. How many of you believe the gospel that said, as long as you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died and resurrected on the third day, and if you believe that you said yes to the Lord, how many of you believe that you're saved?
Yeah.
Why? Because it's stated? There's many books that state a lot of things. But faith is the evidence. Faith is the evidence of things that you're hoping for, but not yet seen. I wasn't there at Calvary to see Jesus be tortured and be crucified and risen. I was not there. Were you there? Anybody there? Because if you were, we need to talk. I was there, but by faith, I accepted what the Spirit of God said in me was truth. But what has happened for so long, we have inhabitants in the land bringing a lie into our land. Well, I wish I had someone helping me. Can someone? Keep going. That's good. Oh, no. Water's good. I'll eat that bit. But I feel something, Pastor. I feel something. I feel when something is about to be driven out, it takes notice that you've noticed.
That's right. Come on.
It knows that you know that it's in. So it doesn't want to leave. It's going to stand and be immovable in its mind. But in your mind and in your heart, your faith has to say, regardless of your size, regardless of what you're saying, my better is on the other side of you. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
I know my wife selected me. You know, I tell my wife that she found a good thing. She said, well, the Bible said you found a good thing. That's what I said, Pastor. I said, no, you found me, baby. And she said, no, you ain't all that. Truth be told, she didn't like me. She didn't care for me. I was wounded. I was hurt. I was broken. I was left alone. I needed help. And the Lord sent me a helper. And she said, I don't like you, but there's something about you that I can see that you can't see.
That's right. Come on.
Are you hearing me? So those married couples in here. Come on, the ones that just got married. I know they put on their finest. I know how you do. And if you ain't got the money, you go to the department store and put on one of those little when they see something in you probably don't see in yourself. So what God is saying is, I know my people know me, but they don't know quite yet what I have for them because they believe what they have is okay. And they limit themselves to the best. Lord, I don't want to be limited. How many of you want to be limited? Raise your hand. We'll pray for you with deliverance in a minute. I don't want to be limited. I want what God has for me. And God is so beautiful, so wonderful, and so loving that he doesn't want to take from you. He's asking you, would you give to me? Give me your will. And when you give me your will, that's a whole different level. We're going to release to you what is rightfully yours. Because you surrendered your will. You're about to experience, start right here, second row. Holding, I guess, I don't know if that's your boy, but you're about to experience something that's going like a whirlwind all around you. A whirlwind. That not only change, but your eyes are about to see on what the oil that rests on you. You've been in the background. You've been in the background just kind of, I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch. Some people, you know, I'm going to watch. But you're about to experience something that's going to change the way you see who God is. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying that you're not there. But there's a change that's coming concerning your eyes. Amen? Good things are coming your way. Good things. God is so good. Amen. So 3 months ago, you said yes to something that you were being struggling with. And you said yes to him 3 months ago. 3 months ago, you said yes. God says, I already took care of you. I already took care of you. Amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Now, if you would, turn with me to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. If you could just keep up with me, is that right? That's okay? Thank you, sir. Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 6. I want to read this to you. Then we'll begin to transition to you that you got to look for your better. Amen? Let's look for our better. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed to enter into his rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world, for he spoke in a certain place about the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it first preached entered not in because of unbelief. believe. Now, how many of us receive the gospel? And there's times when we believe, and there's times when we... Because we don't like the way it's presented. Or we don't like who it's coming from. Or we don't like their style. We don't like it, so this isn't gospel. When the Bible's true. From Genesis to Revelation. But what happens is we don't enter into a rest. And there's a warning there. It's a fear that we do not enter into his rest. Because even though you have received, but it hasn't profited you anything. Now I started reading the word. I said, a profit means to increase. Profit means what is left over from what you already have. So God wants us to increase not only in that, but to increase in what he is saying so that we can enter into a rest, a peace, the peace of God. But what happens is we get so caught up with everything that is going on in our life. What do you think keeps us from entering into his rest? Your past. Your old identity. The way you see yourself. Can I get there? Can I get there? You look at yourself like you are not the best you. We got to go take yoga. We got to go and run at the park. We got to go do everything so we can look better for ourselves. Truth be told, the one that loved you and created you just the way you are. Whether you've got gray hair, blue hair, purple hair, no hair, it don't matter. Whether you're big, round, whether you're black, mocha, cappuccino, vanilla, or you're a Mexican just like me, it don't matter. He made you in his image. Quit looking at everything else and say, I'm not like her. But we get so caught up in looking at people. And then we want to begin casting judgment because we don't look like them. It's not that they don't look like us. We don't look like them. But then what's the dichotomy when we look in the mirror and we look at something that we don't like? It holds us in a place, and we can't move any further than where we're at. We begin to nitpick. I began ministry, well, a while back. I used to have hair. No, it's thinning, baby, it's thinning. There's some patches in the back there, and they call me patch sometimes. Because we begin to thin. I went to my mom, she's a hairdresser. I said, Mom, I gotta do something about this. The thinning. She goes, you can do nothing you can do about that. I said, this isn't right. I look older than what I am. She goes, no, you look your age. Isn't it something when they tell you the truth and you don't want to hear it? I said, Mom, I'm your son. I want to look good. I'm getting ready to go to London. I'm going to go minister over there. I need to look good. Can we spray paint it or something? Can we cover up? She goes, no, you can't cover nothing up. What the problem that you have is you don't want to get old. No, I don't want to get old. I mean, she says, you're growing in the things of God. And you're more worried about how you look. I said, well, can you at least color my grays? I got a whole bunch of gray. Can we spray paint that? She goes, it's going to grow back. No matter what you do, you is always going to come. But it's how you see you. To where you're going. She says the better you is still ahead of you. You think the better you was back then when you had hair. You think the better you is when you were young and fit and running around. But the best you is still ahead of you. The better you is still waiting for you. It's waiting for you to get there. It's waiting for you to step into your true identity. Quit looking at yourself and talking about yourself. You're too fat and too skinny. Well, I can't. This isn't. See, we have in our mind what we think is right. And the Lord said, well, my better for you is not even what you're looking at. My better for you is what's inside of you.
Amen.
Is my spirit.
Yeah.
And what I have given you will bring the fullness of my blessing to you.
Yeah, that's right.
The fullness. So why are you so worried about what you have and don't have? Amen.
Amen.
Because what do we do in life? We're looking to make it to that next place. We're looking to get the next job. We're looking to increase in our job. We're looking to increase somewhere. We're looking. We're working. And we're not entering into His perfect peace, His rest. Because we're so caught up in having to do instead of being to believe and to receive. Well, I'm not telling you don't work. I'm not telling you that. Don't come and tell the pastor. Pastor, I felt that prophet said that we need to just quit working. And that's not what I said. No. You're going to work. Well, I think I'm called to ministry, full-time ministry. You're called to live by faith. You better know what you're saying. Yeah. Well, the Lord said I'm going into full-time ministry when I get out. You better pray that you really heard God. That's a whole level of faith right there. Being called out of a job to do ministry. You better know that you know that you know. So that when you step, sinking in, but I'm gonna take my eyes off you, Jesus. I think I'm gonna sink. But if I keep my eyes focused on you, not this whole thing that's going on around me, not because I don't know what to do, but I know if I trust in you, I can do it. You know, but if I take my eyes and start looking at my circumstances, then I know I'm gonna sink. But if I take my eyes and start looking at myself, then I know I'm definitely gonna sink even further. But if I keep my eyes on you, Jesus, I know I can go on this thing. I can go on this journey with you. And I know that if I'm about to sink, you're going to reach down with your loving hands and lift me up out of that mess. I know that if I keep on going in this direction by faith, I know you can lift me up. But I got to know that you said, come.
That's right.
I got to know that you said, come.
Yeah.
See, Peter knew.
Yeah.
I believe that's the Lord. And I believe it was a little bit different than that's the Lord. They were in a boat in a storm. How many of you have been on a boat in a storm? No, real life. You ever been in a boat? You know everybody been in a boat. I was just on a cruise. And we went through rough waters. I'm going somewhere with this. Hold on. Just walking down the hall. Made me look like if I was drunk. I couldn't get my bearings straight. For 7 days on a boat like that, moving so much, when I got on sturdy, firm ground, I was still moving with the effects of the storm that had just pummeled me for 7 days straight. And too many people have been through the storm and still walking like they're in the storm, not realizing they've already come out of the storm. But they have an effect because of something they went through. They're still moving around like you're in it. That was 1 week before I got here. So then I come to London. I'm walking down the street. In some of your streets, they're not flat. I'm walking, and I start feeling myself do this, and say, I'm on land. What is going on? She says, how did you get? Because I got to where they got married. What is that? The castle, what is it?
Windsor Castle.
Buckingham. I'm looking at Buckingham. That's nice, and I feel myself doing this. I'm sure. I said, what is going on? But I had to take the underground to get there.
Yes.
Well, your underground moves a lot. And if you don't get into the doors when everybody else is, you're about to get, well... Yours truly was the last one in. So that's why she's laughing. You know, I'm being a gentleman, getting my wife and my daughter, make sure you're in. The door closing, give it, whoa, hey. I felt the Lord said, get in too. So now I'm having to stand and hold on to something to keep me from falling over.
That's right.
See, there's some seasons in your life you're going from one destination to the other destination. You're holding on so tight to hold on to a firm grip and a firm foundation that when you get off, there's still an effect in your life that made you feel uneven, that made you feel you're losing your footing, that made you lose your balance. And we walk around in life thinking, I'm still in the storm. I'm still in the boat. I'm still in the underground. But God said, I've already brought you up over. I brought you to the next place. You just have an effect from your past. And I'm trying to get you somewhere. Amen. That's just the underground experience. I said, Lord, make me walk straight, please. I don't understand this. I feel like my equilibrium is off. And I can't get my bearings straight. He says, what happens with my people? Because of everything they've been through, they think the storm is greater than I am. Because they follow storm after storm after storm, they think the storm is greater than who I am. But I'm about to speak, be still, and know that I am God. And when I speak into your circumstance, I'm going to put you under the ground. And you're going to stand firm on the foundation that I have built for you. But you got to let go of your past. You got to move towards your future. You got to let go of the things that have been holding you back. Because your better is waiting for you. Do you hear me, church? Do you hear me? Yeah, what has happened so long that we look at the things and our circumstances, and what happens is we're holding on. We're holding on. I'm afraid to let go because my footing is unstable and I may fall. Beloved, when you fall, he's there to pick you up. Just put your best foot forward. And I said, Lord, I'm trying everything I can to just do what you call me to do. He says, don't try. Do.
That's right.
When you try, you're going based on your own efforts and your own knowledge.
That's right.
But when you do based on faith without seeing, you're going to be able to walk in the thing that I've already ordained for you. You're not walking on this ground. I've called you into heavenly places. And when you're going to operate in the things that are supernatural to this natural, but you're coming from the supernatural. This supernatural is for you, but you haven't quite grasped it yet because you don't realize who you really are. My power resonates in you. And you know you're going through a season of rocking. How many of you had your life rocked? Yeah. Some of you have lost some loved ones in your life unexpectedly. And you're having a hard time. You've held some opt towards God. I know how that feels. You prayed for something. You prayed for someone believing that God wouldn't take. And you've carried this burden with you. And you don't know how to let it go. We're here to tell you that right now you can let it go right where you're at. Forgive God and forgive yourself. See, we hold resentment towards God when God didn't come through. Not knowing that the person that went on with the Lord was saying yes to him. Yes, I want to go. But we get hurt. Because death is painful to us. But then we hold God in bondage to work in our life. And God is saying, just give me that. Give me that. How many of you need to let that go right now? Stand to your feet. Come on, you lost someone that hurt. Stand to your feet. And we're going to let it go right now. Come on. Stand before the Lord and watch your healing come. Thank you for being honest, sir. Thank you for being honest, sir. Thank you for being honest. It hurts. And I know it hurts. And right now, what we got to do is say, God, I forgive you. Come on, say it out loud with your mouth. God, I forgive you that I held this against you. And it made me doubt. And it kept me from entering into your rest. I want your peace. Now, I forgive myself. Say it, I forgive myself. And I receive your peace now. I receive your peace now. It's that simple. We're the ones that make it difficult. You ready to let it go? Ready? I want you right now with your hand, your right hand of authority. I want you to ball it up. Ball it up. This is that one thing, you're giving it to God. Come on, there it is. There it is. All I want you to do is throw it towards the altar. That's it. Just throw it towards the altar. You're giving it to God. You're giving it to God. That's it. It's simple. It is simple. That's it. Well, I don't feel nothing. It's not about your feeling. It's about letting go. Amen. Thank you for being so honest. You may be seated. Thank you. There's some people in here. here, and I've been feeling it throughout praise and worship, that you've held yourself in bondage based on what you think you should be or where you should be already. You feel like you haven't made it. You've had more mistakes than you had successes. If you're in this room right now, stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Come on, be honest with yourself. Come on, that's good. Thank you for being honest. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. You gotta let that pain go in your heart, girl. Let it go. You're holding on to it too tight. You're afraid for relationships even coming to your life. Maybe it's okay. It's all right. I know. I feel you. Well, let it go. Amen. Now let it go. Amen. Restoration's coming to your family. Restoration. Healing. Young man in the white hoodie in the back, standing in the middle of the back table. Keep hearing the Spirit of God saying, I've called you for such a time as this. Such a time as this. I see the hand of God on your life. You're harder on yourself than anybody else. You're harder on yourself. Let it go today. Let it go. You're accepted already. You're already accepted.
In the name of Jesus, I release the virtue of Almighty God and declare healing to each and every person that stood because of the shoulder issue and the pain. I release healing virtue right now in the name of Jesus. I declare to be healed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. In Jesus' mighty name, stress leaves now. In Jesus' mighty name, anxiety and depression leave now. In Jesus' mighty name, I speak a peace over your life and I lose it now. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this beloved woman now. I speak to the spirit man now to come forth and rise.
We're taking off the grave clothes, for death has no place. I declare right now in the name of Jesus, long life. I declare that it is renewed and it is put in its place. That you continue to move forward with the authority that I have given you to speak, oh God. Lord, I thank you right now for what you're doing and what you've already done. But her battery is waiting on her. And I thank you, Lord, that her voice shall be heard. Her voice shall be heard. My, si cabasso, ronde de rebosi, bayana de rebosi cabasa, ronde de rebosi, racabasi cobabose, re cabasa, re cobabose, ronda rebosi, si cabasa. I have placed the spirit of intercession in you, says the Spirit of Living God. And I stir up not just intercession, but I stir up prophetic intercession. That you not only will you call things that are not as though they already are, but you will declare even that into, and I would say government, which would mean parliament here, that you will begin to see some changes concerning the people coming from a distant land that have had hardships and were not receiving what is necessary for them to receive. You have a burden for children. You have a burden for children. You have a burden for children. I hear the Spirit of God saying, I will bring unto them those that are able to care for them, those that are able to see them all the way through the system, says the Spirit of God. Continue to pray, beloved, because you will see a shift and a change in Parliament for the children. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, baby. Revelation is released. Revelation is released. I am revealing not just my word, but I'm revealing my kingdom. Keep standing on post because you're a watchman on the wall. You're a watchman on the wall. Keep standing on your post. Sound the alarm when you see the threat approaching. Sound the alarm. Do not fret. Do not be afraid. Sound the alarm. Guard the vision of the house. Guard the vision of the house. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Someone has stomach issues. You may be seated. Those that have stood, thank you for being honest. I said someone has been having stomach issues to the point where, and I'm going to say it this way, you're not regular, but it's causing pain. There's blockage. Who are you? Stand on your feet. Thank you for being honest, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, I thank you right now, Father, for healing. My God. My God. Huh? Yeah. There it is, beloved, right there. You feel him standing right next to you. You felt the wind come brush right next to you. Matter of fact, some of you right here felt the wind come right through you. Did you feel it? It came right there. There's an angel that's standing right there with you. It's the ministering spirit of the living God that has come to let you know, not only has I brought the healing to be loose in the atmosphere, but I've come to do the bidding of the Lord, says the Spirit of God. You have a heart for souls. You have a heart for people to be loosed from infirmities. You've been bent over quite often, and it's caused pain. I hear the Spirit of God saying, I not only remove, there's a growth, I hear a growth, there's a growth. I'm removing it now, says the Spirit of God. Let it dissolve now in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Father, I speak to every individual that has stood up by faith, and I thank you right now for the divine healing taking place now, that you will bring a regularity right now, everything that's been impacted, be loose. Father, that everything, hey, Baba, say, come about to you. Every allergic reaction to the food no longer will be allergic. They will get a written decree from the doctor that said they will no longer find this type of ailment. In Jesus' mighty name, all ailments now and every manner of disease be broken now off of their life now in Jesus' name.
mighty name. And I lose healing now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Young lady, and I say that with respect. With respect. Yeah. I see camera, makeup, and I see you standing for. I see camera, makeup, and you standing for. Not only have you desired, and I don't want to say sit them like you're going to be a star, but you desire to do things that nobody knows. You've kept quiet with God, but you have desire to step like on stage and just be you and be articulate. You dance before the Lord.
The Spirit of God said, you live and not die.
created you in my image. Your spirit, man, I speak to now. Take off those grave clothes now. And I call you forth into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Yes, you do know him. But your circumstances have rocked you. I speak a peace to you. A rest in your walk. And that the perfect love casts out all fear in your life. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 If that is you, and I'm not going to point you out, there's a couple of like three or four of you, reach out to the leadership of this house. Leadership, receive them as your own. Receive them as your own. This is a loving house, like that I feel. But receive them as your own. Counsel, be accountable. Children killing themselves, too many adults killing themselves, preachers that are taking their lives as well because they can't handle it, storms, and they believe a lie. If a pastor can believe a lie, come on, even the very elect will be deceived. Even the very elect. We have to understand that God wants the best for us. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for allowing me to come.
Soul and spirit, and all.